This is Radio Superior 1955. A reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s.
Come, let's stroll, stroll across the floor.
This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Now turn around, baby. Let's go once more.
Hey, you guys, dolls, cats, and kittens. Tim Michaels here, rocking your socks off. It's Wednesday, June 15th, 1955. Mikey Simonson's got Lou Martin's 6 o'clock news. Cool Cal Sabatini has the sports. And if it's Operation Alert, where to run and hide if the Reds want to make us radioactive in a bad way. We've got the best rock and roll on the way. Roth's Appliances is his foot in the bill for the 6 o'clock news. Trade in your old fridge for a brand spanking new 1955 Frigidaire with separate freezer and refrigerator compartments, just $479. Mikey, it's all yours.
That's a pretty cool cat machine.
Right on, Daddy.
The Frigidaire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good evening, everyone. The president and officials flee D.C. in a giant test. Movie Sex gets Kefauver quiz, and teen doo-wop gangs plague Rice Lake. We begin this evening's report from Washington.
This is the nation's capital, Jack Bell reporting. Sirens screaming warning of impending atomic attack sent President Eisenhower and 15,000 other officials scurrying for hideouts scattered in a 300-mile arc about the capital. Today's mock warning touched off a great three-day test of how the executive branch of the government could function if an enemy actually did rain death and destruction on Washington and 43 other major cities of the nation. The big question is, can the president and his briefcase brigade get out of town and swiftly take up the grim business of reorganizing the shattered nation and striking back at the enemy? At the first sound of the siren, Eisenhower grabbed his hat and walked hurriedly from his office to an automobile which sped away for his secret relocation center. Five other cars were in the presidential motorcade. Some of the public sirens were late in sounding off. The ones at the State Department never did get going, but employees were warned by beep signals in the building. Sirens could not be heard in the marbled courtrooms in the U.S. courthouse, but wardens marched through the corridors blowing whistles. With that, judges adjourned their courts and all legal business came to a halt. 14 big helicopters took off at the Pentagon, carrying Secretary of Defense Charles Wilson and virtually the entire top military command. Wilson carried a single thin briefcase. A newsman asked him if he expected to run the Defense Department from that one briefcase. Wilson replied that he could, quote, with just about the same success I usually have, unquote. Orders will be issued. Eisenhower will talk to his staff and commanders by closed-circuit television. Electronic brains will assess casualties and damage. Munitions orders will flow to plants outside target cities. Refugees will be steered to safe havens, and the National Guard will be activated to restore order. Operation Alert already has turned a spotlight on a greater gap in the government's defense readiness. Congress has neither plans to quit Washington nor a place to reassemble if a real atomic attack should come. It was business as usual for the legislators, despite recent testimony of Civil Defense Administrator Val Peterson, that anyone who stayed in the Capitol under the bomb sights of an enemy is a dead duck. Neither has Congress voted nor the administration asked any standby war powers legislation under which a government scattered to the hills could mobilize the country, control panic buying and profiteering, ration food and clothing to evacuees, or take emergency action to restore transport, communication, and credit. In Washington, this is Jack Bell.
This is Alfred M. Schock in Los Angeles. Movies, sex, and violence, already the cause of a serious industry breach with the Legion of Decency, gets a going over from the Estes Kefauver Juvenile Delinquency Subcommittee. It begins a three-day stand here today. Today's session will be but a curtain raiser for the big Hollywood show expected to steal headlines tomorrow and Friday. Tomorrow, a dozen movie bigwigs will answer charges that a recent loosening of the motion picture production code is unhealthy on the minds and morals of teenagers. Committee investigators have subpoenaed press books of Sons of Sinbad and Blackboard Jungle, two pictures which have come under fire from censorship bodies. In Los Angeles, this is Alfred M. Schock.
This is Washington. Aaron Brown, International News Service. The La Follette tradition of political forthrightness and concern for human dignity has left a permanent imprint on American life. That from Wisconsin Democratic Congressman Henry Royce as he spoke to the House of Representatives at a tribute to the late Senator Robert La Follette, Sr. Yesterday was old Bob La Follette's birth centennial. Congressman Royce said, quote, "Among the historic documents symbolizing the La Follette philosophy of government is a scrap of paper found in old Bob's desk a few days after his death on June 17, 1925. In one sentence is written a political statement which sums up the La Follette tradition in Wisconsin and which every American in public life could well adopt as his personal motto. Fighting Bob wrote, I would be remembered as one who in the world's darkest hour kept a clean conscience and stood to the end for the ideals of American democracy." Royce commented on the statue of old Bob, which millions of Americans visiting the U.S. Capitol building see each year, placed in Statutory Hall to represent the state of Wisconsin. Quoting Royce, he almost springs to life from his Senate seat of stone. La Follette never tired in his battle for human progress, and he was never bullied by bigness. In Washington, this is Aaron Brown, INS.
This is London. Seymour Topping at your service. Russia's ambassador to Britain, Jacob Malik, is trying hard to prove that Russian diplomat isn't an oxymoron. The hulking square-faced Kremlin troubleshooter, friend and confidant of Foreign Minister V.M. Molotov, has told his embassy staff to wipe off their Cold War look. Malik himself is setting the example. British and American diplomats are being invited to lunch parties at the once forbidding Russian embassy on Kensington Swank Millionaires Row. Even though they find few chinks in the iron curtain on information, the vodka flows freely. The helpings of caviar are generous, and their Russian hosts spill over with good fellowship. Malik has been setting some kind of a record for informality in carrying on London's negotiation with the Japanese for a World War II peace settlement. He initiated the talks by spitting a bottle of Dubonnet at the Soviet embassy with a surprised Japanese envoy. Once, the Russian embassy buildings were bottomed up tight and a guard surveyed you through a peephole or a door slightly ajar before letting you in. Inside, there were bulky characters in ill-fitting dark blue suits with policemen marked all over them. The blue-suited men have either changed clothes or gone back to Moscow. Reporters telephoning the embassy at least get a reply from a press spokesman. They usually got a grunt, sometimes a, I no speak English, or nobody is here now. In London, this is Seymour Topping.
Scenes like the one in Cincinnati, Ohio, where the order of the day today in the major cities mock-bombed by hydrogen and atomic weapons, gathering in a schoolyard, civil defense workers practice mass feeding techniques. Cooking is done with makeshift equipment. Youngsters enjoyed themselves, and defense workers learned valuable lessons. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Tim Michaels has this message from Roth's Department Store.
You're going to shop Roth's Department Store and save up to $175. That's right. Roth's is the store you believe in. Now, you can trade in your old refrigerator on a brand new 55 Frigidaire. You talk about convenience. It's got room for everything. And in this Frigidaire, it's an all-new food freezer refrigerator combination. Frigidaire Imperial 112 starting at $479.95. And have you seen the new picture window hydrator? It swings down to the fruits and vegetables at waist-high level. It's called the Frigidaire Imperial Cold Pantry. That's going for only $469.95. And also an Arthur Godfrey special, Frigidaire Quick Cubelet Tray. No down payments, 2 years to pay. Rotz handles your contract. See the new Frigidaire today at Rotz on Tower Avenue, Superior. Back to you, Mike.
Thanks, Tim. Douglas County Sheriff Anthony Genda asked the Douglas County Board of Supervisors for more help to take care of the juvenile delinquents. Two more deputies were approved. Sheriff Genda says this is necessary to take care of juvenile delinquents throughout the county. Tavern violations, entering cottages, stealing cars, and other misdemeanors. This gives the sheriff one undersheriff and four deputies now. Beboppers spawn a gang fight in Rice Lake. Newsman Richard Allen Kramer has that story.
The fight flamed from resentment to certain teenagers who wear their hair long in back. Beboppers brought sharp reprimands when Rice Lake police were called in. 100 youngsters from 13 to 17 years old were in a squabble in a dark lot in back of the Lakeside Hospital Sunday night. The fight started when some youths became so annoyed by the Beboppers that they decided to take scissors and chop away the long hair to summer shortness. A few beboppers got the works. Most of the gang scattered when the police car arrived. However, six of the beboppers were picked up. Night patrolmen Roger Bame and Jerry Bame lectured the six on gang fights, released them, and sent them home, preferring no charges. The beboppers have been organized about 6 weeks here. Their mark of distinction is hair cut short at the sides and long over the nape of the neck. In Rice Lake, this is Richard Allen Kramer.
And finally, Superior will host some milkin' mayors. Them's fighting words in the opinion of two Minnesota mayors to Superior City Council President Dr. E.G. Nelson. Nelson declared that a cow milking contest pitting himself against three Minnesota mayors will be a fair match. Already entered in the contest is Duluth Mayor George Johnson. And word now from Mayor John Green of Proctor and Mayor Norman Halverson of Cloquet that they will be more than ready to take Nelson on. The big who's got the most poll test will come off Monday at the pregame feature of the Superior Blues Fargo-Moorhead baseball game at Superior Municipal Stadium. Nelson will receive musical support from Hurley's mayor, Peter Derubelis. The Hurley headman, no novice as a trumpeter, will play On Wisconsin when the contestants enter the arena and promises sweet milk music during the contest, something like Flow Gently, Sweet Aston. Timmy?
Who's got the most pull cow milking contest?
It's newsman's humor.
Yeah. Mike Simonson, our man, in the milk carton opening contest. The sky is high this Wednesday, June 15th, 1955. Clear tonight, cooler tomorrow with a high of 76. Here we go. Let's get our dancing shoes on with Chuck Berry and Maybelline.
Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You just started doing the things you used to do. Motivating over the hill, saw Maybelline in a coupe ville. Cadillac rolling on an open road, nothing out run my vehicle. Cadillac doing about 95, bumper to bumper rolling side to side. Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started back doing the things you used to do. A Cadillac pulled up to 104, my phone got hot and wouldn't do no more. Gun got cloud and started to rain, I tooted my horn for the passing lane. Rainwater blowing all under my hood, I knew that was doing my motor good. Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started back doing the things you used to do.
Chuck Berry, new on the scene, but I got a feeling he's going to be around for a while if he keeps pumping out hot discs like Maybelline. You can't lose when you've got a tune about broken romance and hot rod racing. Now it's Tiny Tums time. They called him Joy Boy last night, but today stomach acid is rattling his cage. Most of us like to let off steam, but when we eat too much, drink and smoke too much, and then suffer heartburn and acid indigestion, there's something that can cool your fires, baby. Tums can save the day for Joy Boy and neutralize excess stomach acid. No mixing, no waiting, no fizz, just chew fast-acting Tums like candy mints. So get a roll today. The new crazy sports guy is next. He's got the easy first names and a crazy last one. But here's one with Etta James and Peaches. Roll with me, Henry, on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Hey, baby, what do I have to do to make you love me too?
Got to roll with me, Henry.
All right, baby.
Roll with me, Henry.
Don't
Rockin' and rolling with Etta James, that's the Wallflower, but everyone calls it Roll With Me Henry. I am Crank Campers to introduce the new sports guy, direct from the hockey rink to the airwaves, the man unfazed by a zillion pucks to his unhelmeted head, Duluth State Hockey College retired hockey star, Cal Sabatini. Wait, now this happened last time. You're not Cal Sabatini. Who are you?
No, I'm Bill Kirby. And I like doing this. So I saw Cal downtown the other day, asked which bus to get to the station. I told him to take the Arrowhead Bridge bus. I took a cab. I'm here first. I can do your sports for you.
All right.
Let's face off fast.
Works for me.
Works for me, too, and I got to get this done before the real Cal shows up. Let's face off, fans. The Milwaukee Braves got their 15-game homestand off to a bouncing start last night as Eddie Matthews and Chuck Tanner belted home runs to beat the Philadelphia Phils 4-2. The victory over top Phils right-hander Robin Roberts kept the Braves in fourth place, still 15 games out at 29-28. Lou Burdett posted his fourth victory to put him at the .500 mark for the season. Shortstop Ernie Banks of the Cubbies jumped into first place in the All-Star Baseball National League poll today, moving ahead of Johnny Logan of the Milwaukee Braves. Kansas City Athletics star Gus Zerniel passed White Sox outfielder Minnie Minosa. The Cards stand the man Musial is in the horse race for the first base job, just ahead of Ted Kluszewski.
Oh, and Cal has said that.
Festivities galore will take place at the Superior Municipal Stadium tonight when the Superior Blues open at a 9-game homestand, starting with the Aberdeen Pheasants. Still on the short end financially, the Blues need big turnouts this summer, fans. Tonight, the Marine Reserve... I got ahead of myself and my tongue got tied all around my front teeth. If I were on TV, I'd be hyperventilating right now. I'm going to duck and cover.
Drop and roll.
Tonight, the Marine Reserve presents a full-dress combat production complete with flamethrowers and helicopters. Judging by the Blues season so far, they could use some flamethrowers in the bullpen. The Ashland Athletics play 3 games in 6 days, beginning tomorrow, 2 of them at home. Then the Ashland 9 goes to Highbridge, and on Monday, a game between the Superior Independents and Ashland is booked for Hodgkins Park. How are you going to figure the winner of the 1955 U.S. Open? Included are Masters champion Gary Middlecoff, Gene Littler, perhaps the brightest of the younger crop, and the famed slammer Sam Snead, still sneaking his first U.S. Open title. Never to be forgotten is that man of golf himself, Ben Hogan. He's won this tournament 4 times. The old medicine man, Archie Moore, looked relaxed as a sunning cat before going in to sign the official papers for his 175-pound title fight with Bobo Olsen in New York a week from tonight. Quoting the 38-year-old warrior, "Relaxism. That's what I practice, relaxism. Nobody ever saw me when I wasn't relaxed, not even when I was in a fight. You mean to say that you were relaxed when Harold Johnson knocked you down in your other title bout here? Never felt more relaxed in my life," he said. "You saw what I did to Harold after that happened." This is Bill Kirby filling in for Cal Sabatini, signing off.
Hey, Cass, let's take that new sports guy, Wild Bill, instead of Cool Cal. You did a sweet job there, man. Glad to have you on board, babe.
Hey, glad to be here. You know, Rapid Ray going to TV was a big break for me, and also sending Cal on the wrong bus. It's great to be on radio, but that Ray's going to be a TV Hall of Famer.
All righty, cats and kittens, be warned. The Colonel and Engineer Joe are in next about how to duck an A-bomb. Maybe we should all try some relaxism. Right now it's Big Joe Turner. We're going to shake, rattle, and roll on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Get out of that bed. Wash your face and hands. Get out of that bed. Wash your face and hands. Well, you're getting that kitchen, make some noise with the pots and pans. Well, you wear old dresses, sun comes shining through. Well, you wear old dresses, sun comes shining through. I can't believe my eyes, all the mess belongs to you. sleeping in a seafood store. I'm like a one-eyed cat sleeping in a seafood store. But I can look at you and tell you ain't no child no more.
Joe Turner and Shay Rattle and Roll on Kickin' KUWS.
Good tune, Timmy. Let me introduce Douglas County Civil Defense Assistant Director Colonel J.A. Buster Raffoli, along with Civil Defense Communications Committee member Joe Gardonio.
I'm in my official capacity as CD Committee Chairman.
Sitting on a committee with you is pure hell.
You usually say H-E double hockey sticks.
We're supposed to be talking about Operation Alert and evacuation procedures, and we're not supposed to be swearing.
Fine. We'll do that. But being on a committee with Skinny is pure hell.
Nice that somebody else besides me is going to get in trouble for saying the wrong thing on the air.
I don't understand, and I'm a little upset. The Communications Committee is a free-flowing marketplace of ideas.
Your meetings are never-ending. Agonizing,
You mean meetings or matings?
Meetings. Agonizing, rapping, mind-numbing, and claustrophobic. I've started biting my fingernails because of you, and real men don't bite their fingernails.
Well, I am genuinely saddened to hear this revelation. I thought for once we had a symbiotic vibe in the mutual interest of survival in the otherwise doomsday scenario of an all-out atomic and hydrogen bomb attack.
Well, an atomic and hydrogen bomb attack would be a blessing after sitting through one of your meetings. They're so boring. I don't see how radio engineers can stand themselves. And don't call me symbolic.
We're detail-oriented, sir. Coordinating communications while chaos reigns and said bombing into the Stone Age is and supposed to be fun and games.
Perhaps we could move on to Operation Alert and discuss committee etiquette later.
As chairman, it is vital to listen to and respect fellow board members, thus resulting in the best solution.
Engineers are a strange brood. All right, people, listen up. The president is in an undisclosed location. H-bombs are being dropped on 55 American cities.
Better tell them, hypothetically dropped on 55 American cities.
Killing 5 million people and injuring another 5 million.
Hypothetically killing 5 million people and injuring another 5 million.
10 million people are blown out of their homes, creating what the Civil Defense Administration calls a homeless population.
Hypothetically blowing 10 million people.
We get the idea that this is a drill.
At this time, President Eisenhower has declared a state of martial law, and this is to maintain order and prevent panic.
Who would panic at a time like this?
Democrats and Hollywood.
Information is the best way to prevent bedlam. The Civil Defense Emergency Presidential Proclamation will be broadcast live over all radio and television networks.
Civil defense sirens blowing and states of emergency just chill a cat out, man.
We're not talking about cold weather and pets. We're talking about 55 cities getting blown up and the rest of the country covered in radioactive fallout.
So far, Operation Alert seems to have gone well, except those darn TV networks botched the presidential civil defense emergency. Only NBC and Dumont carried it. Darn CBS, they always think they're too good for everyone else.
Well, what I can't figure out is why Superior is not considered a top 50 target for the Ruskies.
What a slap in the face.
A real insult.
Chicago and Cleveland, they're getting vaporized, and all Duluth Superior is getting is radioactive fallout. Ooh.
Go figure. All right. Communication is vital during a CD emergency. Thus, as chairman of the CD Communications Committee, it is imbued upon me to relate the following telecommunications priorities. Pri-1. These will be given first consideration. This includes notification of danger due to enemy presence or intel on matters leading to said enemy attack and proclamations of more civil defense bulletins. 2. And this shall have precedence over all other calls except Pri-1 emergency calls.
That's so obvious. That's why I hate being on his committee.
Level 2 includes damage reports and CD activity. Finally, Priority 3, or Pri-3 as we call it.
Even as he shortens something, he makes it long.
Pri-3 is for making calls about public health and safety, important versus non-important governmental activities, and the movement of medicine, food, and other supplies.
You know, a lot of people would think calling mom would be a Pri-1.
That goes without saying.
Well, just for Operation Alert, here are the chords now, and shaboom on the Tim Michaels Duck and Cover Show.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Do-do-do-do, shaboom. Life could be a dream. Shaboom. If I could take you up in paradise up above. Shaboom. If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love. Life could be a dream. Sweetheart, hello, hello again. Shaboom, and open with me to get boom. Ding-dong, ding-dong, ding-dong. Life could be a dream. If only all my precious plans would come true. If you would let me spend my whole life loving you. Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Every time I look at you, something is on my mind. If you do what I want you to, maybe we'd be so fine.
Oh, life could be a dream. Shaboom, if I could take you up in paradise up above. Shaboom, and tell me, darling, I'm the only one that you love. Life could be a dream. Sweetheart, hello, hello again. Shaboom, and hope for me to get boom. And I Shaboom, if I could take you up in paradise up above. Shaboom, and tell me, darling, I'm the only one that you love. Life could be a dream. Sweetheart, hello, hello again. Shaboom, and hope for me to get boom, boom, boom. Ding-dong, ding-ding.
The sound of the chords in Shaboom with Carl and Claude Feaster on the lead and baritone. You know, Shaboom was a hot plate last year, really radioactive in more ways than one. It was named after the threat of atomic bombs exploding, but hey, life could be a dream.
Generally, this is a pretty depressing drill.
Oh, the fun has just started. This is a 3-day drill. We have to find ways to feed and give medicine to a decimated nation and mount a counterattack on the bomb droppers.
I don't want to get preachy here, but Ike said it best. War in this new atomic age won't bring victory or defeat. It'll only bring destruction.
The late Albert Einstein said, I don't know how the Third World War will be fought, but I can tell you what they'll use in the Fourth. Rocks.
Who is this guy?
While Bill Kirby, who's sitting in for Cool Cal Sabatini, who is supposed to be our new sports guy, who I don't.
The Cal Sabatini, Duluth State hockey star, but he didn't show up. You couldn't retain Cal, huh? Somebody from Talon didn't want to have anything to do with you guys, Dave. I understand how this goes. Yeah, some Minnesota State hockey star wants to hang around with you two clowns. I don't think so. I can understand why. He took one look through that window, saw you two clowns sitting here, and said, I'll have no part of this. Uh-uh. He caught a cab, headed out of town. He doesn't.
All right. Time to cut out Cats and Kittens. Coming up next is Perry Como, Bing Crosby, wow, back-to-back corn, Ben Amos and Andy, and Bill Kruger News. Well, we'll be back same time, same dog pound, the good Lord willing, and we all start digging bomb shelters.
That's probably what Sabatini's doing. He's digging his shelter.
You hush. Why don't you go sit in a meeting? That cold is an up-and-coming investment opportunity.
Matt City for Lou Martin.
I'm going to buy my own bomb shelter.
Wait a minute.
You go ahead and buy whatever you want.
Yeah, I've designed a bomb shelter.
Matt City for Lou Martin.
We're going to have our meetings in our bomb shelters.
Oh, fine. No windows, no way out.
Mike Simonson, Joe and the Colonel. This is Tim Michaels, rocking and rolling your world, baby.
Listening to Radio Superior 1955, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Tom Martinson, Don Hansen, Danielle Kading, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1955 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.
This is Bill, what's my last name?
Bill Curry. Bill.